Y'all ever watch something that makes you question, like,
existence?
Yeah. Like, not even how it got made, just like, like, you ever watch something?
You just go into an existential crisis. Why are we here?
What's the point of this? As more days go by, I find myself falling into sort of like deep existential crises as a result of having just watched something. Just like something that...
I mean, I... You know what it was? It was a thing of, you know, I noticed that podcast, like, how does it get made? It wasn't that feeling. It was like, how did this get made over like everything? Or just, no, just like, this got made over all of the wonderful things. Like, not even me. That I've heard, like, you guys pitch. I've heard, like, other friends with, like, really cool ideas. I'm like, this movie was made over those movies. It wouldn't have taken that much money.
Well, I mean, I do think that this, if we are going straight to talking about this movie versus other things.
I'm talking about movies, any movies, any movies. It's
like, this movie's going to get made.
Of course.
Regardless. This movie's going to get made regardless. Like, they have Spider-Men and Spider-Women and Spider-People that they have the rights to. They're going to make these movies. So then I start to wonder, like, how is this the Madam Web and other Spider-Women story that is the one that they're like, yes.
Okay, so I do have insight into that.
You do?
I do have insight into that.
Okay. It blows my mind that this is the one, this is like a prequel. Like, it's like, we don't see.
This is before Spider-Man.
It's before Spider-Man.
Which, by the way, they said it in two. I mean,
why? Why was it
said? They said it in 2003, but the first Spider-Man movie came out in 2002. So I was kind of questioning the logic of even the timeline. I was just like, I don't understand. Why did you set this in 2003? What was the thought process?
Also, did it even feel like a period piece to y'all? Like,
I love that the first thing we see is like a blockbuster, and I'm like, bro, this already feels.
Well, they tried with some of the music, I guess. Music, they had toxic,
but
playing.
They didn't even do like the techno. Like,
I mean, they kind of had like the old cell phones, but like,
yeah.
We've talked about this endlessly. How just the state of the movie industry is, you know, it's in. Well, actually, we said maybe is it back, and then you see a movie like this and you go no.
Well, as of recording this, they said I just read a Deadline article saying what is it?
This is a hit on Netflix. I saw
it was saying.
Well, of course, it's a hit on.
Sorry,
this.
The articles from this weekend so far, Memorial Day weekend, is the box office meltdown. This movie business is not, in fact, back. Movies are lukewarm. And what's this?
Yeah. Yeah, because I saw Furiosa. I know that's not what this, you know, I don't know if we'll ever talk about it on this podcast, but Furiosa, it was, again, it's just one of those things where you just go like, man, you took a movie that, you know, I guess in fairness was also a sequel.
Yeah.
But a sequel from like a series that came out in the 80s that like people kind of forgotten about, and they just did something new with it, right? It's like wasn't really, I mean, I guess maybe it's following some kind of storyline of what Max was doing, but like, you know, there's not that much story. It's just a pure action film, and it was really great. And then they were like, okay, like let's make a prequel. And it's like, but why? And then the prequel is set, but its reviews are good, but like that and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, I saw both of those.
Oh, you saw the Apes one?
I don't know, man.
Kingdom not good? Is Kingdom not good?
Also, there never needs to be another one after War.
I had hopes for Kingdom.
War was so good.
I don't know. Maybe you'll like it. It's just a new story that has no real connection to any of the other stories. It's like it's hard for me to care about random apes. Like,
where's Caesar? It wasn't like Caesar's son or cousin or something?
No, it's like set like far after Caesar has died, that so far after Caesar has died that people have forgotten about him, and there's like a like there's like warring factions of apes that have decided what Caesar stands for, which the idea of that is kind of cool, but I just like I don't know. I don't know, man.
Cord said it best. $5 to $10 million movies, baby. You don't. I actually, this is a movie we probably will watch, and this is the last tangent. I decided to stay home and clean, so I put on that Jennifer Lopez movie, and I watched a movie that had a budget. Again, I don't know what the budget is, but you ever watch something and go, they didn't need this much money. Like, I'm literally watching money that could have went to something else. Like, you could have gave this to, like, I don't know, a small movie. It would have made his money back. It would have been fine. It was like watching a cartoon with J-Lo just in a cartoon. I was like, I don't understand.
Did you finish it?
Bray.
Should we watch? Or no?
Bray. This is my thing. I have a classmate in that movie. He did wonderful. He did wonderful.
And that's all you want. All you want is for the people to do well. Okay. And wonderful. Then whoever's not doing well is not doing well. But you don't know them.
It was like nothing, like nobody was doing bad. It was like you're just watching a movie that has a bunch of money, very little plot, but it had cool actors. Simu Lee was in it, you know, Sterling K was in it.
Oh, shit.
Being right. Sterling K. Like it looked, we should watch it. I mean, it was a very, it had really good actors. Like it's just.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, guys. I watched both of those movies back to back. So let you know where my mind was moving. I know. I suffered yesterday and today because I had to finish Mad and Whip. I suffered. I suffered.
Yeah.
I started then. I was like, you know what? This was all bad. And on my YouTube, there's like, hey, do you want to watch Old Boy? And I was like, yeah, let me start this. And I forgot what Old Boy was about. It's been a rough three movies back to back, y'all. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. Old Boy. I never saw that.
Listen, it's great. But boy, that twist.
Yeah. Which one? You saw the Spike Lee Old Boy or
wait, Spike Lee got an Old Boy?
Isn't there? Or am I thinking of a different film?
Hmm? Am I thinking of a different Asian?
Right? Oh, what's my goodness. Spike Lee has an Old Boy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh. So you're talking about original Old. You're talking about original Old Boy. Okay.
Wait, this has Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Olsen? What the? What? Yo,
yes. I'm so glad I get to inform you about this.
Huh.
I've never seen any of them, but I remember when that came out and feeling the reaction you just had to that casting. I had the same reaction, even though I didn't know anything about the original.
Josh Brolin? Directed by Spike Lee?
Like, this cast makes so much...
Wow.
Oh, this is Palm. Palm is in this movie from Guardians.
Oh, my goodness. Elizabeth Olsen is in this film?
Yeah, like, what is this?
Oh, and so is Madam Webb? Yeah, I'm just reading the cast list here. Samuel Jackson, Lance Reddick, Madam Webb.
Lance Reddick.
R.I.P.
That's crazy. Rami Malek is in this movie. I never knew Rami Malek and Madam Webb. Film together. All right, let's start. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Rob Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
It was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders just before she died.
Why'd you say that line from the trailer? Why'd you say that line?
Why'd you say that's the line?
Wait, no, I have a better one. No, I have a better one. I have a better
the line
one.
That everybody was
I have a better one. You ready? You ready for it? Here's a better one. Huh. Guess he's not dead after all. Delivered exactly like that. Delivered exactly like that.
Oh my goodness.
Wait, okay, hold on. Here's my other one. Here's my other one. Ready? Oh, you'll know when I show off.
Ugh. Yeah.
You're just showing off.
And then they say it like five other times. Now she's showing off. Now you're showing off. Now you're showing off. Now you're showing off.
Maybe now I am.
I guess they didn't know. I guess they I guess they actually didn't know when she was showing up.
Wow.
Okay, I have so many questions. One, my first question is...
wait, hold on. We gotta tell people who we are. All right. First of all. For those of you who don't know, this is a film review podcast. We review the films typically of leading Black actors, and we talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. But because sometimes you guys don't care about the old Black films that we cover, we've been branching out, baby. We've been branching out. Now, that said, I would say this film, you know, at one point in time would fall under our purview because it's a, you know, it's like a strong female heavy cast and
an action film
and does have like some, you know, diversity within it. Now it does star a white woman. My co-star,
Your co-star. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Your co-star.
By the way, I feel like maybe we've talked about this before, but like truly every like 2 or 3 weeks, somebody will send me a clip of that scene and be like, this you.
I see it organically all the time.
It pops up on TikTok all the time.
Like, all the time. It just keeps coming up.
All the time.
This film came out this year. It stars, as we said, my co-star, Dakota Johnson. I'm her co-star. It stars Sydney Sweeney, Adam Scott, Emma Roberts is in this, and then the
Isabella McCurdy.
Yes. Love her.
And Mike Epps.
Mike Epps is in this. And Celeste O'Connor.
Yes.
They're so good. They've been in like mad stuff too.
Yes, they were in the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire and Afterlife, and also Freaky, which was a fun movie.
Freaky needs a sequel.
Yeah.
Does it need a sequel?
I'll watch a Freaky sequel.
I'm just saying, it is interesting that it doesn't have a sequel because it was a fun horror film. And usually horror films that do good.
The thing that I would watch more of is I would watch more, like more premises like that turned into horror movies. Like I would watch more. Oh,
the Freaky Friday.
Because it's the same.
Yeah.
Happy Death Day.
Yeah, writer, exactly.
Right? It's a writer, director. Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's their thing now, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
I would love that. I would, you know, I don't know what other potential movies, but I would love to see. It's the Odd Couple, but one of them's a it's a serial
killer. Yeah, Christopher Landon. Yeah, he wrote Happy Death Day. Happy Death Day to you.
Was gonna do Scream. Right?
I don't know. He was hired to do the most recent Scream
and then passed.
Well, he got hired to do it, but then when they fired everybody, when they fired the one actress.
Fired everybody.
No, the rest of them still tied to it.
Okay, just the main two.
Just the main two, yeah. He quit. Okay. He was like, what the fuck is this? Anyway.
So Madame Web, look, here's the thing. When this movie came out, it was ridiculed mercilessly online as one of the worst movies ever made. Let's see. It currently has an 11% on Rotten Tomatoes. 57% audience score.
Yeah.
Which is rotten, but much better than the 11%.
Yeah, but there's a lot more audience being like, you know what? I can forgive this.
No, I think no one wanted to pay for this movie.
Like, IMDb has it at 2.6, though.
Whew. Okay.
This movie cost approximately 80 to 100 million there. That's what it says on Wikipedia. It made 100 million.
This movie made 100 million?
Worldwide.
Okay, I mean, that's still more than I thought. I thought, like, you know.
Yeah, it grossed $43 million here and then $56 million international.
People went. I mean, not a lot.
You know, it did have Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney.
Right.
Big stars. Who is the guy who's the villain?
Tahar?
Yeah.
Where is he from? What movie? He has to be from something special. I have never seen any of these movies.
I feel like I had seen him before, but in what?
And this was also directed by S.J. Clarkson. S.J. Clarkson.
Wasn't S.J. a TV director?
Let's see.
I believe so.
She also directed, let's see, has she directed any other movies? Oh, wow. She directed an episode of Succession. She directed 6 episodes of Anatomy of a Scandal, 2 episodes of The Defenders.
Wow, she did a lot.
Yeah, a lot of TV. Collateral, Vinyl, Jessica Jones, Orange is the New Black. Yeah, a lot of TV. Doesn't look like this might have been her first movie.
I think it's her first movie. Oof. Yeah.
That sucks. Okay. So yeah, white woman directed it. Sorry.
that tangent was so funny. All right, so
okay. Three writers credited here. We got Matt Sazama, Burke Sharpless, and Claire Parker.
And yes. I think she has a credit too, SJ.
Oh yeah, and SJ.
Yeah. Okay,
so she gets some of the blame for that.
There was a thing that was shared. Matt and Burke are a writing team. And there was a meme that was shared that like all of their movies have absurdly low Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my God.
Score.
I just looked this up. Here's some of their movies. Morbius, Gods of Egypt.
Oh gosh.
The Power Rangers remake.
Yeah. Which again, I liked.
The Last Witch Hunter.
On the podcast before, but I liked.
What is The Last Witch Hunter?
That was the Vin Diesel movie.
Oh my!
And Dracula Untold. Oh my God!
There was a thing that was shared. There was a meme that kept going around. Like, look at all their Rotten Tomato scores. They're so low. Why do they keep getting jobs?
No, but that's a great question.
How,
guys? Every single one of their movies is.
No, because not all of them suck. It's like those suck. I thought the Lost in Space show had a good start. It did not have a great finish, but I thought it had a good start.
Bro, I stopped watching that movie because
I stopped watching it. Yeah, I stopped watching it because it went. Oh, I guess maybe that's the only one. And then I of course liked Power Rangers, but they only have a story credit anyway. Like they're like they didn't even stick around for probably the stuff that I liked.
Best thing about that show was Taylor Russell. Other than that, for what? And then
Power Rangers is their best film that they're credited on.
Yeah. Unfortunately. And that movie wasn't great, but unfortunately.
And also, they technically don't have the screenwriting credit for that movie, so for Power Rangers. So, like, technically, all the movies they wrote have sucked.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yo, man, let someone treat me. As a very mediocre white man, please, someone just let me fail upwards every day. Could you imagine, dead ass, could y'all imagine if we wrote a movie and it bombed? Would we get another movie?
No.
I certainly could imagine that.
No, we wouldn't get no other movie.
Yeah, we could imagine it bombed, but not getting another movie.
I just watched Fall Guy. I just watched Fall Guy. And there's the whole running thing in Fall Guy is like Ryan Gosling wants to make sure the movie gets made. And they're like, do you want, do you want her to not make another movie again? And the reality of like, if a woman directs a movie that like bombs, their first movie bombs catastrophically, she'd never make another movie again. It's so like that's what keeps people motivated in the movie is like, she'll never make another movie.
That's again. Too real.
Yeah, it is. It's like, if she bombs this, she will,
if she bombs this, she will never
get another shot.
It's real. It's so fucked up, but it's so real. Okay, anyway, yeah. We wouldn't make another movie again, it'd be sad.
But this is crazy. Like, it is crazy to see this level of mediocrity. And no offense to them, but all offense to them.
Mediocrity is even being kind, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's 6 movies in 10 years. That's a lot of... I mean, that's a lot of movies. 6 movies in 10 years?
Especially for movies that are that are known to be bad. Come on.
And movies all and the other thing that I would like to underline is that all of these movies require big budgets. All of them require like crazy special effects. You know, like they're movie stars in all of them. Like they didn't just make 6 movies, you know, and like some of them are indies that, you know, only cost X amount of money. All of them are huge movies for big studios with stars and huge budgets. And they all suck. it's unbelievable.
Suck. Oh, and you know what? God. They probably got another movie coming out.
Scores are so horrible.
I bet you they got another movie they're working on. Let me look. What else they got in the pipeline right now? I know they got something.
Wow.
Well, anyway, I liked seasons one of Lost in Space. I didn't love seasons two, sure. And I didn't watch season three.
What's up, y'all? Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so watch your payday. The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Ooh, man, listen, you can use Earnin' for a variety of things, like a special night out if you got a big date, a last minute gift, you know, Father's Day is coming up. I mean, listen, James, I could get you a little something for Father's Day, you know?
Hey, like, listen, yo, Maddie, I would appreciate it. You know, I always appreciate like when you give somebody a gift for one of those days, but they are not your father or mother or whatever. You know, I always like that. It's always nice.
Yeah, so you see the work. You see the work. Just download Earnin' a Day, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple Store.
When you download the Earnin' app, type in Jump under Podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details.
Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Don't earn out, earn in.
Should we do initial thoughts?
Yeah, we got to get into it.
I'll go. Hey, man, look. So this is the thing. I'm going to say this because we do have friends from Sony who listen to this podcast.
Oh, they do? Oh, sorry.
We officially do.
Well, they know.
This movie's awful. This movie isn't just awful. To me, this is my thing. This movie's script is really, really bad. And I understand. So this is the thing I understood. Like, I know Sony is trying to do their own cinematic universe for a budget, like for the budget. Like, I know that's their thing. They're trying to do like the Deadpool layout. But also the thing about Deadpool, and I will say this, Deadpool script was good. This script.
When you
also
say Deadpool, you mean they want to do like edgy comedy?
No, sorry. Budget-wise.
Budget-wise, like, okay.
Deadpool's budget, the first one was like 57 or something. It was like something ridiculous how good it was. But also you realize Deadpool only had one big, big fight scene, and we kept cutting back to that fight until we started at the end. It's like, they savored that. Also, they were creative. When they couldn't have all the guns, they were like, oh, he loses them in the car. Creative. To me, what makes this movie bad is that the script is bad. It doesn't understand who the character is that they're doing, and that happens a lot with these Sony movies. It's like, they don't understand what the character is. It's like, why would I watch this movie of a person? Anyway, that doesn't make sense. And I'm not going to lie to you. You took four actors. I think Sydney Sweeney, for as much people come after her, I think she's actually really good. Like, Isabella is now Hulk Girl in James Gunn's Superman.
Love her.
So she's doing good.
No offense,
Dakota Johnson looks like she hates being an actress in every movie she's in. Like, she's just like, I hate doing this. My parents are in this. I'm doing it. Fine. And then poor Adam Scott is trying to act. And I'm like, bro, this movie don't require this. Like, you're saying these lines with so much intention, you care.
Oh, yeah.
This movie does not care.
Him and Mike Epps, you're just like,
they're trying.
I didn't know Mike Epps was in this. When he showed up, I was like, damn, this the Marvel movie you in? Like, I felt so bad.
I know. look, man, I'm going to just say this movie is as bad as everyone said it is. I don't even know how to diss this movie. It's just a bad movie. It's just bad.
Yeah.
The villain, I don't know. I've never seen this young man before, but I'm God bless to him for getting in the movie. But like, most of his lines aren't on camera. And then when he does talk, it's clearly ADR because his mouth doesn't match it. And all he says for most of his lines are,
that's what was happening. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, his mouth doesn't match it. And most of his lines are, they're going to take everything away from me. I don't know what he has. What did he have?
He meant his life. That's all he meant. All he meant was his life.
But he kept saying everything I built. They're going to take everything I built. And like, right. Was he a corp? Was he Oscorp or some shit? Like, I don't know what he did.
Okay.
Also, how did his powers work? He couldn't swing, but he could stick to walls and hold people till they got venom. I didn't understand how her powers work. My last thing. Why does she say Ben so many times? It's like they're trying to be like, hey, we can't. We can't. She said, Ben, they're lucky to have you. Ben, you deserve better. Ben, you can't. Like, stop saying Ben.
The way God they dang. Kept underlining that this connects to Peter Parker's story.
I was like, my goodness.
Was so fun. It was just like, it got comically overkill at some point. Like, it was,
yeah. All right. Well, that's it. I didn't. Yeah, it's bad. The movie's bad. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll really quickly just say, and I'll pass it to you, Bray.
Oh, but, I get it.
What?
Sorry, I had asked a question about the timeline thing before, and now I'm realizing it's because it's matching up with the
current Tom Holland. MCU. Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Because I was like, yeah, why is Ben young? I was like, oh, okay. But even that, I'm like, still maybe a little bit too young.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Adam Scott, I think, is mid-40s, late-40s, right?
Right.
So I guess he just looks young. I think the problem is people are aging differently now. So, like, when we see these actors, they're like, oh, yeah, Chris Hemsworth is 40-something, but he looks 30-something.
Famously, Hot Aunt May. We famously have Hot Aunt May.
Hot Aunt May. Someone posted a photo of her recently, and I was like, I don't understand. I don't understand how she looks like that.
Okay, well, I'll just quickly say, I had fun at parts, but what? Then kept getting, you know, stopped up by, like, just utterly ridiculous choices. Like, I will just go back to what I was saying before. Like, I don't get how this is the Madame Web movie that they decided to make. Like, why are we seeing like the first 3 days of having powers? Like, what is the point? What is the point of that? What do we gain from that? We don't gain anything from, and if you're doing this thing where you're like gonna keep flashing forward to the future and you want this to like start off a whole, you really want this to set off a whole like Spider-Verse that you're going to be doing, then you need a better script than this. Like, they had to know, they looking at the people that they hired and looking at, you know, like how those movies got accepted, they had to know that they were making this kind of like weird popcorny thing that like, that also like doesn't feel cohesive or actually fun. We're in a cab. For 45 minutes of this movie, we're in a cab. I don't know what the actual timeline was, but I couldn't believe every scene of just driving in a cab doing nothing. It was like, we're hiding in the woods for so long. Like, this is a superhero movie. There's no action. There's a lot of like references, unnecessary references to Uncle Ben and Peter Parker's in the womb, and he's about to be birthed. Like, all of this stuff, it was just like, I don't need any of this. I don't need 70 spider women. It's fine.
Like, why? Like, why not make the movie like Terminator and just like try to keep Peter Parker alive?
Yes.
Like,
just, I mean, they truly could have, if they're going to do this like back in time, they could have gotten more mileage out of it by doing something like that, by like making the fact that we are this far back mean just a little bit more, instead of only kind of being references. Like, one part that also annoyed me in this same vein was like when they're like, what are we gonna name the baby, you know, like that scene of like guessing what the baby's name was gonna be. It was just like, this is it, we don't, you know. And I would have loved for them to have even more fun with the like time, her like trying to figure out like what her power, there's a bunch of like not knowing what her powers are, and then she leaves and then she comes back and she's like, I now know how to do all of my powers. And it was like, well, what was the
what did you do?
What did you do, and how did we? And so I don't know, it's a movie that tried to have fun in I think all the wrong ways, in my opinion. Like, I would have had more fun if they would have explored some of this other stuff a little bit more, rather than kind of just like throwing things together and picked a weird period in time to do it. Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's all I'll say.
Look, we review some bad movies sometimes. And we talk about them, and, you know, we try to be nice and, you know, respectful. Look, at the end of the day, everybody's trying to work. Everybody's, you know... Here's the thing. It's hard for me to believe. I watch a movie like this, and it's just genuinely hard for me to believe that this movie was made in good faith. But it doesn't feel... It feels like very few people were trying. And I mean, like, the higher... Like, I'm not, like... Obviously, like, Adam Scott was clearly trying. Like,
trying his
Mike
hardest.
Epps was yeah. trying. Like, like, there are definitely actors in this movie. Like, and I'm sure, like, a lot of the... like people who are there for like with under fives or whatever, like, the, you know, people are trying, but like, I don't know the story of this director. It sucks that this is her first thing. And I have to imagine if she directed an episode of Succession, like, you know, she's got to have some skills, right? Like,
yeah.
But everything about, like, both the script and the direction of this movie were just so poor. Like, and then, you know, I don't want to bash my co-star, but what? What's going on, man?
Yo.
I just, this movie, it's like, it's one of those movies that's so bad on a level that makes you depressed about, like, what we're doing. Because it feels so corporate. It feels, you know, and I get it. Like, our industry is dominated by corporations now, as is so much of America. In the world, I guess, but like, it's just like, you watch something like this and you're like, I don't know. It's like, clearly, like, nobody really cares. They think it's going to make a certain level of money. There's clearly no repercussions for these writers for continually writing horrible script. Like, before this movie came out, Morbius was the biggest joke of a Marvel film, right? Like, everybody talked about how bad Morbius was. And then this movie is actually worse. I don't know how. It starts off, the title card of the movie, it's like no creativity behind it whatsoever. Nope. Like, it just is just like Madam Web, like black screen, like just basic font. I literally, like, when I saw that, I was like, oh man, like, nobody cared. Like, that's what it felt like. It felt like, or like, people cared maybe, but like, they just got their voices got quieted. And then they just were just like, whatever. Everybody gave up. And they were just like, whatever. It's just going to be trash. And what can we do?
What was the budget?
Dude, 80 to 100 million.
Wow. That's much more than I thought they had.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, everything you guys are saying, like, the villain, I mean, goodness gracious. Like, talk about, like, giving absolutely nothing to a villain character. Like, we have no clue. This guy keeps saying stuff like, I had it hard. It's like, we have no idea what his life was. We have, we know absolutely nothing about him. We don't know about his past. We don't even know about his present. Like, what is his thing? Like, we get it. He's somehow rich. He maybe used the powers to become rich, but it's unclear how.
Is he rich?
Has seemingly one person working for him. I mean, he has like a really nice apartment or something. Oh, I don't know. True. Like, but it's like, how did he become rich? Like, what, like, yeah, what is his life? He seems so pretty solitary, like, which is crazy. The other thing I don't understand is, like, he's not trying to hide.
No.
Right, no.
When Spider-Man first comes out, like, he's caught on camera, like, Matt, like, it's immediate. Like, people are like, who's Spider-Man, blah, 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 blah. The idea that this guy is somehow living in the shadows, even though he's not trying to hide at all, it makes no sense. Like, it's weird for a film to both talk about how many cameras there are everywhere in New York City, so much so that they can track these girls wherever they go. But then conversely, we never talk about how this guy's never getting seen. There's not one person snapping a photo of him. I get it. It's 2003, so it's not like everyone has smartphones. But first of all, people do have cell phones.
A lot of people do.
Those cell phones still have cameras on them. It's not like camera phones started with the iPhone. That didn't happen. Like, there were still cameras before that. And people have every other type of camera. Like, cameras exist in this world. CCTV exists in this world. I don't care if he has the technology to hack into things. There's no way he's erasing his image from every single camera that might see him. Nobody ever knows about him. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
And he beat up a bunch of cops.
Yeah, he beats up a bunch of cops. And then the APB goes out for Dakota, like, after a weird Spider-Man.
So much so that a newspaper article is written about it. And I was like, are we trying to say that he killed every single one of those cops?
Yeah. What? But then how does she get blamed? Like,
right. Like, they think that she somehow killed, like, at least 12 police officers, yeah. Right?
It's like, if you are talking about her, you're also talking about the weird Spider-Man. Like, if anyone is, like, if anyone survived this instance, the Spider-Man and her are there at the same time as the women, as the girls are abducted. Like, you, how he gets erased from the story is absurd.
There's a line in this movie where they go, the girls say, or no, she tells them to get out of the taxi. Like, if you want to leave, you can leave. And then she's like, wait a minute. No, you can't, because you guys are the only ones who know what's happening.
Bro.
And it's like, impossible. I'm sorry. This is New York City. There's zero chance that not one other person saw this freaking man literally walking on ceilings, jumping from, like, what are we talking about?
Yes, causing traffic. The thing about this movie is, this movie just does things without giving any, like, background to how it's happening, why we should care. Like, there's no logic at all in this movie, okay? At no point. Literally, the movie starts off with the flashback of the mom. Let's get into it.
Oh, my God. Let's get into this.
The movie starts back to the flashback with the mom.
1973 in, what, the Amazon or something?
Yeah. Also, low-key, let me tell you what's funny about this, is I was like, because, again, I didn't know what's happening in this movie. I was like, oh, the reason this guy's mean because the mom is racist. That's like, because the thing is, the mom was so rude to him and everybody else. I was like, oh, this mom like a racist white lady. I got it. Like, that's what's happening. Like, this lady racist. But we didn't, I mean, that's not it, but.
Right, because, like, we don't know, like, what his ethnicity is even supposed to be in this film, right?
No, no, he just says at one point, my road was harder than yours. No one protected my family when they died or when they were killed or okay. Something.
Tahar Rahim, the actor, is a French. He's French, but let's see. It's sounds like there's some Arabic.
Don't tell me. Descent. Don't tell me he's just a spicy white, Bray. Don't tell me. Don't you tell me he's just a spicy white, Bray.
Spicy white.
Well, he is born in France. His family, Bray, is from Algeria, so okay. He has Algerian descent. I mean, it okay. Depends. It's like, technically that's African, right? It's like Algeria is that one of one of the North African countries that have fairer skinned people that are very heavily influenced by the French, because the French colonized a lot of North Africa. And then there's also like a lot of, because it's like close to the Middle East, there's maybe some Islamic, I don't know. I don't know if he is Muslim or anything, doesn't say it here. But either way, they're in the Amazon, right? It's whatever. The fact that this movie doesn't decide to tell us anything about this guy's life or like what he's talking about is crazy, because the whole movie is centered around him. Yes. Like his actions.
Yeah. It's centered around him and his actions. But I also feel like, and his actions are connected to like discovering this spider that's been sort of lost to greater
civilizations. What does the spider do, bro?
And like, yeah, like I would have loved to know more about the spider, more about the tribe of people that protects the spider and uses the spider. Like, it feels like if you're going to do a prequel Madam Web movie, it's like, I care more about that stuff than almost anything that we see.
But James, but now my question is, so instead of Spider-Man getting his powers from a genetically altered spider in a lab, are we now saying that there's spiders in the world that could have just gave him Spider-Man powers that we just never knew about?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
That is what the movie's saying, right?
Yes, because you get different spider powers depending on, you know, depending on what the bite is or the level of venom or whatever, you know, like you get different kinds of spider powers.
I mean, arguably, he had better powers than Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had the venom.
He had the venom. He had the same amount of like, I can stick to walls. I have super strength and speed and agility. He's like, I don't know. It's like his spidey sense is seeing the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could see the future.
This character is based on like a real guy.
But based on a comic character.
Yeah, let me look him up. I'm not familiar with him though. Ezekiel.
It doesn't bother me that there are spiders in this world, just because Spider-Man is spending so much time talking about like Spider-Verse, it's like, great. In this one, they're just real they're just spiders out in the world that could just give that didn't bother me as much as maybe it should. But, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, this, whatever this timeline is, there's just spiders in the Amazon that like only a small sect of people know about and take care of.
Also, low key, I think he's a good guy.
Oh, and they made him a bad guy?
Yeah, he worked with Spider-Man. Oh, he's the one who like put Cindy Moon in the thing. Like, yeah, apparently he was like a protector because he was like, apparently he was obsessed with totems. But okay, this is when it gets geeky. Braylock's gonna roll his eyes. But like, see, this is my thing. Morlin, who is my favorite Spider-Man villain, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
outside of, I mean, he's so good. He's my second. But anyway, they were like, he was really on board with trying to protect the spider people from like Morlin and stuff like that. So I don't know why they made him.
Okay.
A bad guy.
For seemingly no reason at all.
Well, to create a bad guy for this movie. Apparently, the director wanted to provide a timeless quality to the film.
What does that mean?
Like, she didn't want the film to feel like specifically 2003.
So,
but then what's the point of all of the like? So, yeah. What's the point of 2003? What's the point of all of the?
Well, I think the point is to try to connect it to the MCU.
Okay. without having Tom Holland, like it's like this is how we do it. You set it at a time that's outside of his, he's not born yet, and so but
he's not born
he's
yet.
He's about to be. Okay, all right. Honestly, that's fine. I don't care.
Or he is like, yeah, he's literally being born in the film.
That's
right?
That's fine. But also, like, you could just. It's like, what's the why war against that? Like, why?
Oh,
like,
now I just realized that's why they did the guessing.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's annoying about that bit. Just to be like, what's his
name? Because it's like his name is going to be Peter.
Yeah, it's like all those times. Yeah, it's like all those times they trolled us to almost saying Avengers Assemble, or like the first time he types Avengers in Captain Marvel, you know, we don't see him type Avengers. It's like those little ways of like trolling the. I don't know why they do this. I don't know why it's fun for them. I don't know why.
It's fun.
Like what? All right.
The end of Avengers: Age of Ultron. Avengers. Cut to black. Like why? For what reason? It's fine.
And then when he says it, he doesn't even yell it. He just
quietly says it. Somehow everybody hears it. I don't know how that happens. Yeah. How does everybody hear
Avengers
that? He whispers that.
Assemble. Like, why'd you do that, bro? That's because they said he didn't want to do it, though.
Oh, really?
I remember that review. Yeah, they said he didn't want to do it.
It was still. Anyway. I mean, in a moment, I was hyped. But in a moment, I was like upset.
I mean, this movie, guys. What are we even talking? Literally, after we see like the flashback of her mom who got just shot. Like,
by the way, it's just like we just have to say every dialogue, like every single bit of dialogue is so it's so stilted. It's so unlike. It's just like not how people talk. Like they're saying weird things. Like. She's like her baby moves and she's like, ugh, like she's moving, but I will not let her ruin my day or whatever the flip it is. It's just like,
yeah, she will not. She's trying to stop me from working. I will not let her stop me from working.
Like none of it makes any sense. Like it's like, why is she the only person who's looking for this spider? Like who's even funding her? Like, like none of this makes sense. He's providing security for her. We don't know where she found him from.
No,
anyway, he said he's been looking for this spider for 3 years. We don't know why or how that happened, whatever.
Yeah.
He kills everybody, shoots her. The spider people, which there are several of, don't stop him from stealing this spider, which I don't understand. They bring her back.
They only intervened because she was about to die, like seemingly. They were like, well, we had to intervene because you were about to die.
Like, well, what?
It was like a bunch of other people were shot too. Whatever. So they grab her, they try to save her life, they don't, but they save the life of the baby, but they also like let the spider bite
the mom. Their way of trying to save them is they let the spider bite
save
the
her
mom. Okay. They try to save them through the spider bite. Which is fine, I get
right.
That.
Like they have healing
also,
properties.
Okay, guys, why do the spider people? Okay,
well,
why
we don't
do
know
spider people
anything about the spider people.
Yeah, I have no answers.
Bray, all I know about these spider people is that somehow the twigs around them make the webbing from a Spider-Man costume. Anybody
like
why?
That.
Like why?
It made me upset.
Like why? Like
it was like why are they wearing the?
Why are they wearing Spider-Man costumes?
And how does everyone come up with the same idea for a Spider-Person costume?
Like What is...
I don't get it. I don't get why that would happen.
And so Peter's the better one because he actually made his own webbing because everyone just jumps from tree to tree. Is that what
happened? He made his own suit. This like undercuts Peter like so hard.
It does. It does. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating that it's like it all sort of exists. And like, well, but it also though, it would explain a universe in which Peter has organic webbing, you know, it built in like in this timeline, in whatever this is not same MCU timeline. This is back to your point, Bray, like this should actually take place pre 2002 because Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is already out there with webbing, with organic webbing in his, right. You know, that's sort of what this feels like. It's set up within that universe to me.
Also, can we just talk about how Madam Web is a dick? Like, she's out here saving lives, but she's an asshole about it.
Yeah.
Like,
why? I just read this, that the director compared the character to Jessica Jones. And
that's different. I know.
But it is clear. It's clear.
It is clear that's who she
was trying to make this Jessica Jones. And it's like, first of all, this isn't Jessica Jones that already exists. You know that you worked on the show. Why are you trying to make Madam Web Jessica Jones? Why are you trying to make Dakota Johnson Jessica Jones? Because a big problem with this, and like, look, I'm not trying to take away anybody's money, even the Nepo babies. I'm not trying to take away people's money.
Get your Nepo baby money.
Yeah.
Get your money. But the thing is, it's just like, can they just not try to make people who clearly don't have range do something like, it's like, this doesn't work at all. It feels fake for the entirety of the movie. It's like, she is not this person. She's not somebody who goes like, who says, you haven't been shot at in Queens. F you. You haven't been shot at in Queens. Get the hell out of here, girl. You haven't been shot at in Queens. There's no way. No way. Why is she talking like she's some hardcore New Yorker? She's not. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it, like, at all. And, like, she's supposed to be this person who's like, well, I'm not good with kids. It's like, what do you mean? You're not good with it. You're, like, a soft-spoken, like, precious little person. Like, what is this? What are we pretending here? Like, can we be real?
That particular joke also annoyed me as a, like, a reference point of, like, you haven't been shot at in Queens, knowing that Ben dies by being shot at in Queens. It's like, it's not funny when you think about it. He's going to get shot at and die, and it's going to be, like, one of the worst things that has ever happened.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's like, crazy.
It's not even a fun joke. Anyway, but yes, she wasn't that. And it's weird. It feels, that's another thing that feels like it's at odds. So it's like, there are all these things that are at odds. It's like, we're set in 2003, but we want it to feel like it's evergreen. We're casting someone who's not a Jessica Jones type as Jessica, you know, I don't know.
But also, this character doesn't need to be a Jessica Jones type, period. And also, this is my thing about Jessica Jones. It's like, Jessica Jones, as hardened as she is, we know instantly why she's hardened.
Yeah.
The moment we see her in episode one, we know why this woman acts like this. But also, we know out of everything, this woman gives a shit about other people because of what happened to her. So it's like, she's tough around dudes. She's tough around people she doesn't know. But at the end of the day, what makes her Jessica Jones is she will do whatever she can without a doubt for people who need it. This woman is literally saving lives. Saved the life of a woman and did not give a shit about the kid who wrote her a thank you card. Yeah.
It makes no sense. It doesn't even track. I don't even understand who this person is supposed to be, because it's like, why would you become an EMT? And then when some kid is like, thanks for saving my mom, you're not like, you're looking at him like, why are you talking to me? Like, I didn't do that. It's like, what are you, what?
And for people who are saying this is the Iron Man like trajectory. No, it's drastically different. Iron Man was spoiled, worked the job he just got kind of birthed into until he had to be a better person.
So what
Bray is saying, Bray is like, you pick this job to help people and then you don't like helping the people?
Yeah, Iron Man also has an asshole. His job isn't, it's an asshole-y job. Like, he is.
Yeah, he's a freaking CEO.
Yes. At one point when they're like, when he's like, oh man, just hold on to the car, throw it away later. She's like, well, I can't even bend it because it's cardboard. It's like, what the fuck, man? And then, okay, this is my thing. Then also their friendship isn't established because when we had this like moment of them in the break room, I'm like, are they into each other? Like what?
Yeah, that was confusing too.
I know. It was so confusing. I didn't know what that whole scene where he was like, I met someone else. And he was like, this is different. First of all, it's crazy because I'm like, well, how good of a friend, like you guys work together seemingly most days of the week. You're telling her about someone you met right now in this moment and it's serious?
Bro, makes no sense.
I don't know. That whole thing was weird. That whole scene was weird. By the way, it's not just Dakota Johnson's character, Madame Web. Humans don't act like humans in this movie. There's the scene where it's like, they try to show she like interacted with all these girls, you know, before, you know, they all like converge. There's a scene where Celeste's character is like riding a skateboard. They're in an ambulance that has its sirens on.
Bro.
And we're trying to say that a teenager hears an ambulance with sirens on, skates in front of it, almost gets hit, and then gives the middle finger to an ambulance. And I know they make that joke, like who gives a middle finger to an ambulance, but nobody does, because that doesn't make any sense. Like, not the baddest of kids wouldn't do, yeah. Like, and she's not even supposed to be, she's just supposed to be kind of like a little bit of a rebel, not a kid who is a psychopath.
Right. Right. Because that's what she would be if that's how she felt about an ambulance that is actively on duty, like actively trying to
actively
save someone.
On duty. It's sirens on. That means it's trying. It means it's there's somebody in the back who's sick, or they're trying to get to somebody who's sick. What? You're going to skate in front of it and then give it the ambulance the finger because you almost got hit. You almost died. Sydney Sweeney's character.
Oh my goodness.
What is this? What is this character that they gave her?
So listen, she's talked about this and she says she did this as a business strategy.
I've seen
because
it
put her in bed with Sony.
Oh, she did the movie as a business.
As a movie. Because she was like, she did it to be in Sony. And listen, this is my thing. It's hard for me because I'm like, we all know of Sydney Sweeney. And I'm like, maybe at the time when she was offered this, like all that like Emmy buzz wasn't out yet.
Yeah, but
I'm like,
sure.
You could have did this without doing that movie. Like, you're still Sydney. If anything, you might have hurt your chances of getting like Black Cat or a real character you should be playing.
Yeah, that's what sucks. It's like, I don't get why. Okay, one, it sounds like a thing that you say after the fact, like after a movie, it like doesn't do well. And you're like, well, honestly, this led to, you know, because it led to that movie that.
Oh, Anybody But You.
And so it did actually lead to that. But the fact that like, it's like, but you are.
Wait, did it lead? It
I think Sony did that.
She says that like, because of this, I got this. But the reality is she is someone that like would be a movie star. And like, you know, she could have passed on this to be like Black Cat or anyone else. Like in the MCU even, you know, like she could have passed on this to do any of that stuff. So it's.
That's on her reps too, right? Like that's their job to help her with this and tell her, hey, the people who are writing this are bad writers.
Yeah.
They're just not good.
I mean, it's hard because like her character doesn't say anything. Also, this is I will say this.
And she's like playing a dork, even though she looks like Sydney Sweeney. She has a weird fake hair.
They covered her, put glasses on.
Yeah, like there's one scene where she puts the glasses back on. I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, I mean, I guess this is 2003 because you're trying to pretend a hot girl is
literally. Yeah, that's the most 2003 thing that they do in the movie.
What's hard about that too is like not even her looks. I'm like, the thing about Sydney Sweeney that I think, yes, it's a lot of her looks, but I also think she is really good. Like when you watch her character on Euphoria, it's like, yes, the woman is hot, but like she be having crazy breakdowns. Like at certain points, you're like, I feel really bad for this girl because like she'll come dressed up, but no one gives a shit. And I'm like, if you're going to play into that, then give her character, give any of the three girls something to do. Like,
I mean, she arguably was the funniest of the kids, right? Like she
I don't remember her talking.
Like, she was the one that like, called the police, and then afterwards she's like, what, come on man, and she has the like, oh no, I'm sorry, like she has the befuddled kind of, and throughout she's generally like befuddled, and that becomes like a sort of a comic thing through. I mean, I don't know if we can say this is genuinely funny, but she's the, like, you know what I mean, she's the funny one,
exactly, quote, unquote. It just didn't work for me. I was just like, this is miscast.
I will say Isabella got the best reps of all time.
Because Isabella was also the girl in Terminator. And
yes, and Transformers.
Terminator and, Dark Fate.
Yeah, Dark Fate.
Yeah, like they like this girl's been in.
She's
some
great
movies.
I keep saying this. I keep saying this, but truly, every time I see, and she's in this, she's in a little known Legends of the Hidden Temple movie that they made.
I saw that like with my little cousins. I saw that with my little cousins.
She is just every single thing she does a great job.
In. Well, listen, I'm happy she's gonna be Hulk Girl because I'm like, great. Yeah. I'm a happy Hulk Girl's gonna be in there. I saw her; she's jacked. I was like, great. it's just hard because I'm like, you had these three wonderful performers and I feel like they didn't get to do anything. And also I feel like we didn't, I'm putting you like this. I got obsessed with this movie before we watched it. Cause I was like, how did this happen? Like before we watched it and I started reading, watching YouTube videos of interviews and the three young actors were saying how they all have a group thread, like text thread, but Dakota never responds to them. Like they were like, Dakota never hung out with them on set. Dakota like, was just doing her own thing.
That tracks.
And that tracks to how this movie goes. Like this movie feels like I'm watching three people and like a person in another movie. You know what I mean? Like even when she's supposed to care about them in the car, first off, guys, she.
Wait, go ahead. Wait, no, I was just going to the scene before that is Dakota Johnson at the baby shower.
Ugh.
They're playing and they're playing this game where I guess people are just like reading like a fact about their mom. And so Dakota Johnson is blank and they're like, whose is this? And then she's like, oh, that's mine. And she's like, oh, come on. Surely you have one memory about your mom. And she's like, well, my mother died giving childbirth. And the whole room looks at her like she just ruined the party instead of go. And there's not a single human being in this room that is an empathetic person who goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
No, not a single person. We're supposed to believe that all of these people just stood and looked at her and being like, wow, great job of ruining the party with your dead mom. And like, they keep looking at her. And like, at one point, like the only black woman there is like, well, why don't we just like, well, hold on. Like, why don't you just stop talking? And like, let's move on. I was just like, and they're supposed, it's supposed to be like this awkward moment for her. Like we're supposed to look at Dakota Johnson and being like, man, she doesn't know how to relate to people. Instead of going like, wow, she's in a room full of like horrible people and she needs to get out of here.
Yeah. Yes. And also wouldn't Peter Parker's mom know that this happened?
100%.
How long could she
been
not?
Working together and they know each other. Like, wouldn't she know? And like, oh man. Ugh. It just makes me uncomfortable.
It's so weird. It's just like a heart. It's just like a meat. It's just all of that was just so dumb. And then, and then Mike Epps has to die for no reason.
For what?
Why'd they kill Mike Epps?
I was mad.
They killed the black man. No, they really did though. They killed the black man in the movie.
For what? Also, someone tell me, how do her powers work? Like when she drowned, what happened? Like what happened?
Why did it activate her powers?
Yes. Did she?
No.
What happened?
No clue.
Well, she was born in the water. Okay. She was born in the water. Okay. When she was in the water, it's bitter. Okay. And then she fell into the water, drowned.
Honestly, James, I'll take that. She was born in the water and so great.
So she never went swimming before?
No. She never died before, okay? Because the spider was there. The spider's there. It was lying dormant.
It was because she was dying.
And it needed to, and the fact that she died, that kicked in, saved her, and then she got pulled out.
Boom. Yeah. Did it save her? Right.
Okay. No, I think
Ben saved her, but
yeah. He was like you were dead for 3 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, okay, so now we can get to the
get to the train.
We're not at the train. We're so early in this movie. Hold on, I'll speed us up. Basically, the villain that we know absolutely nothing about sleeps with some woman that we know nothing about.
Does anyone say his name?
Well, his name I know from IMDb is Ezekiel, but I don't.
Did anyone say it though, Bray?
Maybe Mamet said. Maybe Zoe Mamet said it at some point, but I don't know. He's not they don't know who he is, and he's never like I am blah blah blah. Like so, yeah, a nameless villain. Like it's so funny how. Anyway, so then. basically he's been seeing visions of his death apparently every night, which does sound like torture, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the only thing you can actually relate to him about, because you're like, yeah, I mean, if I just kept sawing, if I kept seeing myself die every night, I'd be like, I want to stop this. This is hard.
Yeah. And by the same, and then, and yeah, they're kids, but like, if you saw kids murdering you every night.
Well, yeah. Well, he didn't know they were kids yet. They technically were adults in his vision.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
So he steals some technology from NSA or something that's supposed to be brand new technology that can track people. When they're like, here's the, when Zoe Mammoth's like, here's the images as best as you describe them from your dream. And then they pull up just exact photos of these photos. I was like, I was like, come on now.
Perfect photos.
Come on, baby. Come on now. Y'all can't do this. Y'all can't. It's like, what, a computer made this?
And how? Like, he had to. Oh, what?
From his description of them. All right, bro. Okay. You might as well have brought in an artist, like a police drawing artist or something. First of all, AI doesn't have that technology now. There's no way it did in 2003 to just you type in some description of somebody, they pull up a perfect photo of them. Okay, whatever. And then he tracks them. Okay, whatever. They're all converging. I forgot where she was even going.
Yeah, where was she going?
Was she leaving this awkward interaction? This awkward.
But she didn't live in Mount Vernon, though.
Oh.
Also, why were they going to Mount Vernon?
People did talk about why they were leaving, because they were all like, one was like going to stay at a friend's house. One was, I don't know. They were all somehow de facto orphaned in that weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they live in the same building, Dakota Johnson and one of the other girls.
Yeah. Like in Queens, I guess.
Yeah, in Queens.
Also, is her powers like, so she can see a couple minutes into the future, at least at first. We see this thing where she saves them. The thing that's hard for me in this movie, guys, is that this spider dude is just taking out cops left and right. I'm talking about like cops are at this point in front of the steps that they need to run up, so they have to stop. And I'm like, okay, he's clearly took everybody out. He can easily just swoop in and get them now. Like there's nothing to stop him from doing it.
The only thing she has against him is hitting him with a car, which she does two or three times, and then distracting him with fireworks or something. That's the only way that she... This is another thing about like setting it when you set it for Madame Web, that it's like... if she had control over her powers or any sort of... like, it's like she can do more than just... Whew, thank goodness I was driving a car and I could hit him with this. You know, like, it's like,
yeah.
There's
so much fun to be had with like being a precog, basically. Like, if you can like wheel this, like you can, like in my mind, I'm like, she can just like the end
Home
of
alone
that fight.
Traps.
Yeah. Or at the end of the fight, like she could have been dodging. Like, it could have just been creative.
They were kind of doing that. They were kind of doing that with the fireworks. They had her like dodge and like be like, duck. Like at the right time, and she picked up a little metal plate and was like, knew when the firework was coming, and
right, and was expertly knocking all of them away. They do that.
It did kind of come together,
guys,
at the end.
She took these little kids, took them to the woods, and then went to Africa. Oh, where did she go? To the Amazon?
That made How'd no she get sense. There? First of all, where woods are these? Where are they?
She kept finding a place to put them and then leaving. It's just such a weird, the structure of this is so, it's like, what are we doing?
One of the things was like, somebody said something like, thanks for saving our lives or thanks for protecting us. And she's like, that's not what's happening here. And I was like, what are you talking about? That's literally what's happening here. I don't even understand that from her, what her character is supposed to be, which I don't even understand what her character is supposed to be.
Yeah.
But it's like somebody who like doesn't like people, is an EMT who also doesn't like saving people. Like even that, I'm just like, what are you talking? Like, you're clearly saving them. Like, You didn't have to, but you are. So what? Why are you pretending that you're not? I don't even. What are you talking about?
We're once again supposed to get from that like she's only doing what she's doing. She's like, I'm not doing this because I'm saving you or because I care about you, which I guess she doesn't. I'm doing it to try to figure out what the hell's happening to me, right? Like, you can't go away because I need to know what's happening to me. And we're all connected for this weird reason. I need to figure it out. I'm not saving you. I'm keeping you away from that guy because I have to figure out.
Well, she didn't even say that though, but she,
right? Is that what we're supposed to?
I guess so.
I'm just trying to figure out what, yeah.
Like, why she legit left them in the woods, yo.
Too many times she left them.
She saved the pigeon. She knew what she could do. She saved the pigeon and she said, I guess it's not dead now.
She does save the pigeon.
Remember? That's where my line was, right?
Save the pigeon. And that's the first time she uses her power, right?
She says the line, I guess he's not dead now.
That's right. The line that you expertly delivered. <laughs> at the beginning.
she says it with, I cannot stress this enough. Zero emotion. In finding out that she could literally change the future, she says it with the amount of emotion that someone would say if like they saw like their toaster like was working, you know, like, oh, I guess it's working.
Listen, it's better than when she cried when Mike Epps died.
She did. Like, I'm remembering she did try to save Mike Epps, right? She stopped for a minute and was just like, you can't go.
She didn't try hard at all, right?
She didn't try hard at all.
She thought she knew. She saw it.
She saw it.
She goes up to him and she says something like, you can't drive.
It feels different.
Don't do it or don't whatever, you know.
But isn't that after the pigeon scene?
If it's after the pigeon scene, I'm furious.
No.
It had to be before, right?
It was before.
Yeah.
All right. I mean.
Wait, hold on. After you save that pigeon, aren't you overwhelmed with emotion because you didn't save your friend? Like once you see that you save the pigeon, don't you like break down? You can't leave your apartment. Like you're
we
like,
never talked about him again.
That would be the craziest thing to realize, that the day before you could have saved a person who's been in your life. You're at his barbecue. My man is grilling out.
That was a coworker, James. That was a coworker. She didn't know that, man.
That the most debilitating realization is I saved a pigeon. I didn't save a pigeon that then steps in my food afterwards. I saved this pigeon. I didn't save my friend. Oh, wow. I that just hit me just now. That had to be crazy. How does she go on after that? Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Guys, I went to IMDb to look up quotes for the movie. But you know how like IMDb quotes are like just written by people and like anybody can contribute and it's not real. So many of these are fake quotes. This person says, wait, I'm pretty sure this is a fake quote. They said that Ezekiel, after killing the NSA agent, says, thanks, hot legs.
Oh, God.
This one is definitely a fake quote. They have Cassandra Webb saying, it's Madam Webbing time.
That'd have been a better line.
It's Madam Webbing time.
It's Madam Webbing time. One of these quotes is, time to die. No, it's webbing time.
I just wish that I actually do firmly believe this. I wish, and it probably is happening, but Morbin time became such a huge thing. Like, I wish more people would have.
Did he say that in the movie?
No, he doesn't say it. But I wish more people would gather around exactly what's happening in this quotes thread, where like we can like latch on to it being as bad as it is, and like it has a second life because we're celebrating how bad it is. Like, it should be celebrated how poorly made this movie is, because it has to be. At some point it's intentional, right? Like, at some point you're like, I did this on purpose. Like, at some point when she's getting in that taxi cab for the 12th time. It's gotta be like, yeah, like we wanted this. Like, we wanted it to be.
Dude, when she
Okay. I can't remember when she first goes to Africa, but I remember when she leaves.
Africa, you keep saying.
Where did she go?
Wait a minute. Now, she went to the Amazon. But did she actually... Wait, when did... Yeah, when did she go... Wait, hold on.
She left him in the woods. Where did she go?
So she left him in the woods just to go home and like get some. So like she doesn't go. She they have people watching over her when she goes to the Amazon. Right. And the reason they get seen again is because Peter Parker's coming. So they have. But she hides him in the woods to go back and look up like some stuff about her mom because she thinks that it's connected to her mom somehow.
And she saw the picture of the guy.
And then that's where she sees the picture of the guy. And then she's like, well, now I have to go to the Amazon.
But they're still in the car when this is happening.
They're still in the car when she decides to go to the Amazon and she takes them to Uncle Ben's.
Got it. And that's right. When she comes back, they're hungry and they go and dance on tables.
Yeah, to Toxic.
Yes.
Because they know a man is looking to kill them.
Well, they're dumb teens. She said, don't do dumb things.
Aren't they missing? Like, wasn't there like a news report saying they were missing?
There's an APB out.
That's how they find out. That's how they find out. Because we're led to believe that a man is reading the newspaper, sees girls that in the front of the newspaper that's like, these women are believed to be abducted. By the way, there's no real reason why there should be a news article for this. Again, whatever. So let's.
It had to be one of those. The only thing that works is if it's one of those daily tabloids that prints twice, like the Inquirer or something like that. So like he has to be reading.
But also, but let's say all that's real. And the guy's reading this article. He then, instead of approaching these three women, goes immediately to these three women who are clearly not in danger.
Right.
There's nobody around them. Like, they're by themselves. He doesn't go like, hey, girls, is this you? Like, are you okay? Oh, yes, that was a big... Like, he doesn't talk to them at all. He goes straight to the payphone and calls the cops.
Also, guys, these are high schoolers. So we're watching... Three high schoolers dance on tables for what? Like, out of everything these kids could have been doing. Like, for out of everything these kids could have been doing.
It wasn't even sexy.
To be real, it wasn't even sexy.
But my point is, like, you had these three girls dance on a table in front of high school jocks. Like, that's what happened.
It literally could have been anything else. Yeah.
They could have done anything.
Yeah.
They could have been trying to steal the food because they had no money. You know, something.
Well, I think they wanted to be like, she wanted it to be like, oh, let's have them do something that's attracting a lot of attention so we can get the joke of like, what happened to laying low? And they're like literally standing up on the table and dancing. By the way, they stand up on the table and dancing. Not a single person at this diner who works there goes, hey, can you get off the table?
Yeah.
Not a single person. It was just like, where is this diner? Like, where are we? What? Nobody acts like a human being. Like, nobody in this movie acts like a real human being.
Unfortunately, no.
It doesn't even make sense that she gets away from this guy so often.
Because she has a car she can hit him with.
I mean, you're right.
She hits him with the car. And then what happens with the... Oh, yeah. And then she drives the ambulance through a wall and then hits him again.
Right.
Those are the only ways she gets... she has a bunch of fireworks at the end. I don't...
Wait, can I ask this question? Because I was trying to watch it, but also I was watching the end of the movie during the day. And for some reason, I don't know why, the way people shoot films now... is that it's so goddamn dark that you need to be in a dark room to see what's happening.
Yeah.
I couldn't see. How did she become paralyzed and blind?
When it's at the end,
she like gets hit with a firework that goes in the water.
And so then in that moment, it's like when the Pepsi thing falls down and hits homeboy. Oh, yeah. That also, she also gets the shrapnel.
She
or
like
something.
Falls in the water, and I think like the firework comes in the water and somehow explodes.
I think that is maybe
water.
Exactly what happens. Yeah,
and that paralyzed her.
Whatever hit her.
I don't know.
Whatever hit her and knocked her.
Yeah, she got hit.
Okay.
Also, what kind, how does the girls get their powers? Like, how do they become spider people?
We don't know.
Some other way. Like, they don't. They are not
in the
spider
future.
People.
It happens in the future.
It happens in the future. And maybe, it's all related to this. Like, maybe they just go to the Amazon and get bitten, you know? Or, like, or they find his spider because he has spiders in his, a spider in his place still.
All right. I don't know what to say.
It's just really, I mean, I've said this 40 times, and so it's probably getting feeling very redundant to the listeners, but like, I just don't get why this was the, why this was the story that got the yes. Like we see, see that there, I mean, and it's the same sort of conundrum that I feel about like the Snyderverse and what was going on at DC with most of those movies. But it's just like people, fans, comic book fans, starting with just them, have been like waiting for these adaptations for so long. And it's just like, that's the one that gets pushed through. I just don't understand. Yeah, I don't. And these movies can be good. They can be good. Some of these Sony Spider, that first Venom I liked. I didn't love the second Venom, but people love the second Venom too. Like,
but also Venom is doing the thing Venom is supposed to do. Venom is a B character. He's just eating people and like kind of being a hero, but they're not changing who he is. Also, we know who the fuck that character is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they have a new movie coming out with Kraven, who's my first Spider-Man fan favorite. And I'm like, Kraven should not have his own movie because he is a bad guy.
Yeah.
Kraven should be the villain of the new Spider-Man movie. Yeah. Like,
well, it's, they're doing a Morbius thing.
To your point about this spider character in this movie that is stylized as a villain, it's like, why not introduce Kraven in this? You know what I mean? Like, why not have
sense?
Why not have Kraven be the villain here or something? Like, and then Kraven gets a standalone movie where he's just villainous for 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah, y'all want to hear my pitch?
I will. Yeah, I would love to hear it.
This is what I would do. Okay, if I was gonna redo this movie, I would have Madam Web again be the hero. I would have Madam Web. I would make it even older. Yeah. I would make it even older. I'd do like the 90s, maybe 80s. Not focus on Spider-Man at all, but like start the lore of spider people in general, like the multiverse spider people in general. I would have the bad guy be Moreland or one of his people. Maybe not him, but like we hear about these inheritors that are coming who like devour spider people as totems. You could have like, you know, them trying to get one of these girls or something like that. And that way you have a reason that like, hey, this happened then. I have to look out for these type of spider people going forward so that once we get to Spider-Man, we're like, oh, the one that they really want is born.
Right.
And like, you know.
That's, I mean, that we all could get behind that. everyone could get behind what you just described. Like, what's your take on why they make these decisions? Because it happens a lot. It happens a lot where they flip it. Like,
so this was supposed to be their like big connector. Like this was supposed to be
absolutely.
The big connector.
Yeah.
And they keep trying to do these movies on what they call a low budget. And I'm like, this is my thing. For whatever fault you give Marvel, Marvel will make a movie based on what the fucking character is.
Yeah.
Like they won't try to change it. Like they may try to ground certain things, but for the most part, that character will wear that big, silly costume that people love. And that character is going to have every character trait that they design. Also, Marvel isn't going to make a fucking Nick Fury movie.
Yeah.
You know, like it might be a show. It's not going to be a Nick Fury movie because they know no one gives a fuck about Nick Fury or Hawkeye. You know what I mean? Like you didn't need a Madam Web movie.
Yeah. But they aren't doing.
Just do Miles.
I mean, it's and it, with all the talk of like, they're like, well, this is our Doctor Strange. You know, it's also it also seems to make sense that you want to use that character to be the connector, right? I understand that as an idea, and they're not doing TV shows, right? Like they're not. Sony doesn't have like a. Oh, they were going to do Cindy Moon, and then they pulled it, right?
Yeah, which is a big deal. They canceled that. That's supposed to be a Cindy Moon show on Amazon, but they
like,
canceled
isn't
it.
Maybe, the one think, you do a movie and then you make Madam,
yes. So
make
to me, Madam I'm hoping that's what they do. I'm hoping they like that's what it is. It's going to be a movie. Like Cindy Moon should be a movie. Also, she should be in there with Tom Holland, and then also they need to just bring Miles Morales in there.
Which they're going to do, right?
I mean,
soon.
Who knows what this fourth one is? I've read there's been battles between Marvel and Sony
Marvel wants to make a smaller movie. Sony wants to make like a bigger universal, multiversal movie. But Sony's like, I guess Marvel and Tom Holland want to make like, he is a street hero doing street level things now.
They need to make that movie. That is the right choice to make. And it's a bad move to do
But also you got to remember, Marvel still don't own Spider-Man. Right. So,
so they got to do whatever Sony
he's
wants.
On loan. So yeah, guys, We suffered for you guys.
Yeah. I just wanted to read a quote. Dakota Johnson did an interview with Bustle, and they asked, does it bother you when people write nasty reviews referring to Madam Web? And she said, unfortunately, I'm not surprised that this has gone down the way it has. And she said, it's hard for movies to get made. And in these big movies that get made, it's even starting to happen with the little ones, which is what's really freaking me out. Decisions are made by committees. And art does not do well when it's made by committee. Films are made by a filmmaker and a team of artists around them. You cannot make art based on numbers and algorithms. My feeling has been for a long time that audiences are extremely smart, and executives have started to believe that they're not. Audiences will be able to sniff out the bullshit. Even if the films start to be made with AI, humans aren't going to effing want to see those. But it was definitely an experience for me to make that movie. I had never done anything like it before. I probably will never do anything like it again because I don't make sense in that world. And I know that now. But sometimes in this industry, you sign on to do something and it's one thing, and then you're making it, it becomes a completely different thing. And you're like, wait, what?
That sucks. That sucks. I've heard that before. That sucks.
This is a perfect reaction to a perfect response to this. The only thing that I would actually disagree is that, like, she's like, I don't make sense in that world. No, I don't think you made sense for like the take on this character. Like, that's what doesn't make sense.
Right.
But I don't think she doesn't make sense in a comic book adaptation. I bet
also, you're an actor. An actor makes sense in every movie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like if
you can
it,
be
you
miscast,
sense, like,
which she was. Right. Yes. Like, she was miscast for this take. But I don't think she could like.
I think she means she's like, she doesn't feel like she's a superhero type, which I would probably agree.
Yeah.
I mean, but she could, though. I mean, look, man.
It depends, I guess, on the superhero.
Dev Patel made himself a superhero. Like, I think you can do whatever.
Yeah,
but I think you can do whatever.
All right, wait. And then the last thing I want to do is read some, just because we all had to sit through this and then we were at the end, but I feel like it's helpful. It's just a little catharsis. Just read some of these quotes from the reviews.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, these are just pull quotes that IMDb has. I mean, sorry, that Wikipedia pulled. We have embarrassing mess. The worst comic book movie yet.
That's Fantastic Four. They're wrong.
This was better than that. The Miles Teller Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Peter Travers, a famous critic, Peter Travers called it god awful and second to none in the dark art of boring you breathless.
That's so mean. That is so mean.
Manola Dargis said,
that's so
called
mean.
The film absurd and snort out loud risable.
Honestly, here for this. I mean, guys.
She felt the sequences were uninspired, although did note that Johnson appeared to be wholly detached from the nonsense. It is true. She just felt like she just didn't care. She was like, whatever, I'll hit my mark and I'll say my lines. somebody called it a 2-hour explosion in a boringness factory, in which the forces of dullness and stupidity combine in new and infinitely perturbing ways.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I normally don't appreciate the critics, but they was on one for this. They were like, listen, I'm going
to... Wait, hold on.
The trailer was so bad.
Sam Adams of Slate said he enjoyed the hell of it for being a travesty, disaster, and a blight on the history of superheroes and cinema itself.
God damn.
He described it as marginally competent at its best, and at its worst, an incoherent mishmash populated by slumming movie stars who make little effort to disguise the dawning realization that they've made a terrible mistake.
Oh my goodness. That they made a terrible... Guys, what would you do if you were making a movie and in the middle you're
bro,
like, oh,
you go
no.
to work. You go to work, You go to work. And I think, and I would say you do what Adam Scott did, which is you act the hell out of it. That's what I would. That's what I would do.
Yeah,
that's
true.
What I would do.
So. What can you do? You know, what can you do? You're stuck. You're there. You're getting a paycheck. You know, I did feel that from Dakota and honestly Sydney a little bit too.
I just felt bad for Sydney. But you're right. You pull an Adam Scott. You fucking act.
Yeah. And I mean, Sydney's befuddled characterization. Like, I was like, okay.
Sure. You know what it is? Is I just feel like a person like Sydney Sweeney, who I think is really talented, I think a person like that will get judged based on their looks. So when I see like her, I think like Jacob Elordi gets that a lot. Like, well, I think Jacob Elordi is like really good. He just is a tall, handsome dude. You know what I mean? That's just what the fuck he is. So yeah. I feel like they're probably going to get judged as being kind of just like eye candy. And when they have a slip up like this, it's like, see, I told you these motherfuckers couldn't act. They just pretty.
Right.
And I'm like, that's not on them. It's just a bad movie. Like, the movie's bad. Like, it's.
Yeah. All right, so three black fists from Adam Webb is what we're saying, right? Three black fists.
Yeah, okay. We rate and review. Also,
guys, you know what this is getting.
Another fake quote is, what am I, some kind of Madam Webb or something? I love that people just put fake quotes on here. All right, we rate and review our films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helps the cause of leading black actors. And if this helps the cause of leading black actors, we give it a fist. If it somewhat helped that cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help it at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for Madam Web, not based on how much we like the movie. Okay, here we go. One, two, three.
James, you're a liar. James, you're a liar, James.
One I thought palm. I'd be the only one, but I have to say why I gave it a palm. Okay. I know it doesn't support leading black actors, but I think that movies, superhero-led movies with female superhero characters are rarely made, right? They're just rarely made. Yeah. If we look at all of them. And so I don't think that this movie, in terms of like what this movie did, is helping, you know? But I think that the fact that executives were like, out of all of the characters, you know, they were like, let's dust off Madam Web and let's make this. So I think that like the effort to make a Madam Web movie and a Madam Web movie featuring other Spider Women and stuff like that, that is what gets the palm. You know, the that attempt alone, I think, took a lot probably, but the fact
I mean, James, there have been like at least 70 superhero films made at this point.
And the other problem also happens, like sort of what happens with the Marvels, where they're like, just put 70 of them in one movie. You know, like that's a problem too. But I think like, but again, I assumed that this was going to get a single palm when I put up my palm. And I think if anything, that makes sense. Like if we all gave it a palm, I'd be like, that's confusing.
Okay. But one palm, great.
It gets the one palm for that effort. I think.
As it should. That's too much to me. It should have been a palm. It should have been half a palm. Well, guys.
I put up the spider fingers.
We better get so many reviews because we watched this movie.
Let's see how many people listen to this episode.
Y'all better tell a friend because we suffered. This movie felt like 4 hours. How long was it?
It was two.
Not very long.
Fuck, yeah, not two very hours?
It was two entire hours or like 1:45. Can't remember.
Bro, like one, I think it was like 150.
Yeah,
too
yeah.
Too long. Too long.
I mean, it's all around bad. It's bad from top to bottom. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. As you may or may not know, we have a paid subscription podcast that helps keep this one free. You can find us on Patreon or Red Circle. It's $5 a month. We have new episodes every other week. We just reviewed the American Society of Magical Negroes. We have other reviews up there, including, I think, Monkey Man we reviewed.
Monkey Man is on there. Monkey Man!
A lot of cool stuff.
Mia Culpa. Our Oscars chatter is on there.
We watched Mia Culpa. I forgot about that.
Mia Culpa, that was a fun one.
Man, what we do for you listeners, okay? Do you understand the hours it takes, what our eye sockets can't erase anymore?
And I'll stand by Get Rich or Die Trying and some of those other ones that went on straight to Patreon. I had fun in those episodes.
Yeah, that is a fun one. It's Shantae Bowen. We talked a little bit about the Kendrick and Drake rap battle.
Yeah.
Guys, you can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where you'll find links to our Patreon. Also, merchandise that we sell. Yeah. We have shows or sometimes, I don't know, not anymore. I do Herald every now and then.
I gotta figure out a new show to do. I just don't have an idea for a new show.
Yeah, we out here.
You know what I'm saying? Someone send me a gimmick show pitch so I can, you know, I feel like you just need a fun gimmick.
Yeah, you'll get a producer credit on the show.
Yeah, for real. Just like send me like, I don't know, man, like shit.
All right. You guys got anything you want to plug?
Follow me at ruleofthreeinc.com. 3 is the number 3. Fairly Odd Parents is going strong. It's every Monday through Thursday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. I don't know if it's a different time in the middle there, but 4:30.
I see people post about that all the time, man. Y'all getting some good love.
It's some people are enjoying it. I'm seeing that, you know, a lot. We got the haters for the it being a black girl in the lead. We got those people are coming out strong. The people that are mad that it's a black girl, they're talking loud. But yeah, but it's I think it's a very good show. Also listen to Tiny Dinos wherever you get your podcasts. That's out every Wednesday. I don't know. Maybe.
That's a smart move. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Gerard Milligan. I had nothing to promote, but you know, send me a pitch for something fun. All right, that's all I got.
All right. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.